Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Question: how do you react when things are not fair?
Angry.
Mm-hmm. Angry. What about you, Lee?
Annoyance.
Annoyed.
Annoyance.
Yeah. So, annoyance. When things are not fair, that's how we go. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story that Jesus told, and it left people annoyed. They said, "But that's not fair!" And I've got echo on this, and I'm not even using my phone. It's good. It was good when CJ was praying, wasn't it? You get CJ praying and you got this big... No, come on. Right, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 20. You've got your Bibles, then it's in Matthew chapter 20, and if you haven't got your Bibles, it's on screen. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and he sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. And he went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found some still standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them the wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Right, so we've got Jesus and he's telling this story. And he says, there's this bloke, see, and he owns some land. He's got a vineyard and he's growing these grapes. And he needs people to start coming working in his vineyard. A lot of work to do in a vineyard. The working day is from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. So he goes out early in the morning, at 6 in the morning, and he goes to see who's there for hire. Right. I need somebody who's a morning person. Who's a morning? Right. Come on, Alan. So if you come and stand here, you are there in the marketplace at 6 in the morning, and I come along and say, "Got a job for you. Go and do this."
"No problem."
"And I'm going to pay you a fair wage and denarius, which is one day's pay." And you say, "Let's go for it." But then he goes out into the marketplace at 9 o'clock in the morning. So you've been working 3 hours, and at 9 o'clock he finds some more people there. These are people who don't get up as early. I need somebody who's not as good at getting up early. Dana, here you go.
Yeah.
So you managed to get there by 9 o'clock, so there you go. So I say, "Go work in vineyard." So you've done 3 hours, you're just about to start, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Another 3 hour goes by, and then I go to the marketplace again, and I find some people standing there, and they haven't been hired yet. Now, they haven't turned up till 12, so obviously these are teenagers. Need a teenager. Need a teenager.
A teenager.
Teenager. Managed to drag themselves out of bed, get them to the... No, so you stand here. Okay, so we've got this person. And then the same thing happens at 3 in the afternoon, so you've been flogging all day. And you started at 9, you started at 12. And then at 3 o'clock, somebody else comes along. And then it says at 5 o'clock, so there's 1 hour to go.
Oh, I'll do that. Right.
1 hour to go. He goes and he finds some people in there and he says, look, just come and work in my vineyard. And you say, all right,
yeah.
I'm just going to do an hour.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Right. So there we go. The landowner has got people working in his vineyard. Some have been working from the first and some have only just come right at the end, just in 1 hour. And he said, one evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers, pay them the wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. So you're going to get paid first. Okay, so a day's wage. So, 12 hours, minimum wage.
Minimum wage?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, sorry.
Do you know what it is?
It's 8 pounds. So it's about £8 an hour, 8, 12, 96.
Might as well call it 100.
Let's call it 100 quid. Right. So I'm going to call you, I'm going to pay you 100 quid for yeah. That's what we agreed, yeah, 100 quid.
Yeah.
We'll go for that. And so he says, let's pay them, let's start with them, let we have the next screen. Okay. The workers who hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. That's a day's wage. That's 100 quid. What do you think about that?
If that's consultant's hourly rate. Can I go now?
£100.
She's happy. She's worked for 1 hour and she's got 100 quid.
Woo! No, that's not fair.
That's precisely it. My next question is, what do you think about that?
Not fair.
That's not fair. Are you going to get some more?
Oh, hang on.
What do you think?
Well, I'm a teenager, so I'll get about half.
Oh, yeah, you only get half. So you're only going to get half. But you did work for 3 hours, so there you go.
£100.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, off you go. Happy with that? Now, you've worked since 9 o'clock this morning. What do you think?
I think...
She got £100 for doing an hour. What do you think?
So I should get, well, actually, maybe 200.
Yeah. How much?
We'll keep raising it.
200.
You said 200.
I'm getting
bored. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Maths.
Go 100
instead.
Ah.
Oh, it's starting to get a little more. Salty, very salty over here.
I've got more.
So what do you think?
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. And then they pay the last person. There you go.
Alan.
And you think,
get
a minute, that's not fair.
No, that's not fair. I'll get a solicitor onto it.
Thank you very much. And everybody's saying, that, no, Jesus, what are you saying? That's not fair, is it?
But that we see.
So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. They got this 100 quid. Next slide. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Mm-hmm. What's going on? So there's grumbling. There was this. That's not fair. Next one. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And we're left thinking, Jesus, what's this all about? But it's not fair, is it? What are you saying to us? Now, at this point, I just want to pause. If we go on to the next slide. Today, we're starting a new series. We have been doing a series of Jesus in My, and today we're moving on to the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven quite a lot. 10 or 15 times we have in Scripture where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and in this story, a landowner who owned a vineyard and he hired workers. So, this is a new series. I'm going to do this for a number of weeks. Jesus obviously thought the kingdom of heaven was important, because he talked about it quite a lot more than he talked about other things. So it's sensible for us to say, well, if Jesus had so much to say about this, what did he say? Next one. Now, we're left a bit confused by this parable, aren't we? Because it's not fair. And just leaves it there. Jesus just leaves it. And the people who are listening to it are still saying, well, what's it about? Now, with any parable, the key thing is to say, what's the key thing? You only look for one main point in a parable. You may be able to glean other things from it. There may be other things that you can get out of it. But the key thing is, what's the key thing? So what does this parable teach? Well, next slide. It starts off, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. We went out early in the morning to hire workers. And it ends up, at the end there, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Now, this is God saying, so, am I allowed to make decisions or not? Am I God or am I not? And the answer is, yeah, God, you're God. Yeah, you can do what you want. Or are you envious because I am generous? Now, this is the point about the parable. The landowner was generous. So, for the man who worked 12 hours, he said, I'm going to pay you a day's wage, and that's going to be fair. And he did get a day's wage, and that was fair. But to some of the other people who didn't work as long, God chose, the landowner chose to be generous. And this parable is all about the generosity of God. So, next slide. Or are you envious because I'm generous? We've got to be careful about our envy. Next one. So it talks about God's generosity. Now, next slide. God's generosity is all about grace. Now, we've already talked about grace this morning, and we've already sang about grace. We talked about grace a few weeks ago, and I want to look at it again today. Grace is God's generosity. In particular, God's generosity that we don't deserve. That person who worked for 1 hour, did they deserve 100 quid? No, they didn't. They didn't deserve 100 quid. But they got 100 quid because the landowner was generous and chose to give it. And it's the same with us. God gives us stuff because he is generous, not because necessarily we have earned it. Right. Next slide. This is some of the stuff that we have earned. Next question. Put your hand up if... It's a good job Samuel's not here, because his hand up would be up already. Put your hand up if you have lived a perfect life. If you have never done a single... Put that hand down. Never done a single thing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
Never sworn. Never even thought something that was unkind. Put your hand up.
None.
Of course there's none. Because if you put your hand up, you wouldn't be humble, would you? No, let's do it in another way. You'd be too humble to put your hand up. So let's do it another way. Okay, point to somebody in this room who you think might be perfect.
Might be what?
Perfect. And never done a single thing wrong in their lives. No. There's nobody pointing to anybody. Because, of course, there is nobody here who is perfect. We've all done something wrong. And this is what this next scripture says. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and falls short of the glory of God. What is this sin thing? The Bible calls it sin. Anything we do wrong. So if you've ever said something wrong, or done something wrong, or even thought something wrong, the Bible calls that sin. And it says, everybody sinned. We can all agree with that? Yeah. Everybody sinned. Of course we have. Now, there's another verse which I want to show you, which brings in wages, because we're talking about wages today. The wages of sin is death. So, because of our sin, we are earning wages, and our wages, the things we deserve, is punishment, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So for our sin, we deserve something. We deserve payment. But the payment we deserve is punishment. We like things to be fair, don't we? When we've done some work, we like to get paid for it. If we don't get paid for it, we are not happy. But actually, we've done some stuff which deserves some payment, and we're not happy about it. Because it's punishment. But there's another bit on the end there. For the gift of God is eternal life. So this next scripture, that talks a bit more about this gift. For it is by grace. Oh, there's that word, grace again. We talked about grace a minute ago, were we? What was grace? Forgotten it. God's generosity. God being kind in a way that is just more than we can ever expect. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one could boast. So this is talking about, right, we can be saved from the wages that we've earned in that previous scripture, the wages of sin. We can be saved. And how are we saved? We are saved through, some of you can read, yes, through faith. We are saved through faith. So there's a way that we can get out of this punishment, and it's through faith. Many people think, am I going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Going to heaven. When I die. Yeah. Going to heaven. Why am I going to go to heaven? Because I'm a good person. Mm. That's what I would have said. Why am I going to heaven? Yeah, I think so. Because I'm a good person. And then I read some of these scriptures and I thought, well, I might be a good person by some standards, but I've certainly sinned. I've certainly done things wrong. And for that, I deserve punishment. But it's by grace, it's by God's generosity that I can be saved, and that is through faith. If I am going to get into heaven, if I'm going to get eternal life, it's not going to be because of my works. It's not because of me being good, because I'm not good enough. I only have to do one thing wrong, and I don't get into heaven. You think that's harsh? You see, the trouble is that, is there any sin in heaven? No, heaven is perfect. No sin in heaven. So if I've got sin and I go to heaven, heaven's not perfect anymore. It's got sin in it. That's quite a problem, isn't it? I can only go to heaven if I haven't got any sin. And at the moment I have got sin, so what do? And those scriptures show you. Yeah, we've got sinned. We have sin. Those sin deserve death. But by grace you have been saved. Through faith. This last scripture is all about God's generosity. It's about grace. It's about that landowner who chose to be generous. And so this all ties in with God's generosity. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So, how did that work? How did that work that I can be saved? Because I've done stuff wrong and I deserve punishment. Next script, next sheet.
He's probably sleeping.
Do you want God to be fair?
Yeah.
You're flipping, don't. You're saying yeah. Fairness is you're going to get punished. Next one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We deserve punishment. God allowed Jesus to go onto that cross and take our punishment. When Jesus was on that cross, he was being punished as a criminal, but he hadn't done anything wrong. Pilate said he's done nothing wrong, he should go free, but he didn't. He went to that cross and he paid a price, and the price that he was paying was the price that you and I should pay. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus took it. He was the one who paid the price. He gave his only Son so that whoever believes, and there's that faith thing again, so whoever believes in Jesus shan't perish but have eternal life. So here is our way out. It's Jesus paying the price that we should pay. That's God's grace, that's God's kindness, his generosity. So do we want God to be fair? No, we don't. We want him to be generous, because fairness means we take our own punishment. But coming under God's grace, under God's generosity, means that we can be in Jesus and he takes our punishment. Next one. So do you want God to be fair, or do you want to be God's? Do you want to be under God's grace? I'll ask this question again. Do you want God to be fair?
No.
We're getting it right this time. No. Next sheet. For the kingdom of heaven is like... So, this morning I've got some good news for you, and that is that God's not fair. We don't get what we deserve. Our parable was all about a landowner, and he wasn't fair, and people grumbled. And we think that if God's not fair, we're going to grumble, but actually we're not. Because God not being fair means that we can have forgiveness, means that we don't get what we deserve. Jesus dies in our place. And I'm so glad that God's not fair. I'm so glad that he doesn't punish us as we deserve. And God is extravagantly generous to us. When Jesus went on that cross, his Father was giving the most precious thing that he possessed. There was nothing more precious than Jesus, an only Son, and he allowed him to go to the cross and to be killed for us. We don't deserve God to be so generous to us. We can't earn his love, we can't earn his forgiveness, but he pours upon us. And that's why we're here today, because he loves us extravagantly. And this is my motivation for doing a lot of things that I do, because he loves me so much. Aren't you glad you've got a generous God? That parable of the landowner, it causes us to question, what's this about? But it's not fair. But we see that it's pretty good that God's not fair. We can fall into the trap of thinking that God is fair, and that he blesses us because we do stuff that pleases him. And it's not. He blesses us because he loves us. He blesses us because he wants to bless us. Now, we do need to live lives which reflect that in response to that. But he didn't send Jesus to the cross because we were good. He sent Jesus to the cross because we weren't good. Right, kingdom of heaven. First thing we learn about the kingdom of heaven is it's different from any other kingdom. What is a kingdom? Well, kingdom has got a king. We are part of a united kingdom, although we're not very united and we don't actually have a king. We've got a queen, but no, we won't go into that. Look, a kingdom is where you've got a king, you've got a ruler, somebody who's in charge, and... the kingdom is all those people and that land that the king rules over. And Jesus, when he was teaching, said the kingdom of heaven is like... So he said, my kingdom is like this. And the first thing is, it's not fair. In this country, in our kingdom, we want things to be fair. We need things to be fair. But in God's kingdom, it's different. The kingdom of heaven is different. We have different rules. And it's a good job we have different rules. Because we need a king who is not fair. We need a king who is generous. Or else you and I are sunk. Right. So, Nearly finished. So we're part of a different kingdom. Different king, different rules. So what difference does that make to us this week? How have we got to live? Knowing that people have that God has been generous to us, what does it mean for us? Don't know. You've been going on a bit now, getting tired, Graham. Just tell us the answer, will you? Just because God has been generous to us, we must live our lives and be generous to others. Does that make sense? I get some nods there. Yeah. Some are still awake. That's good. Yeah. So have a think about that. I'm going to think about that in a minute. We're going into digging deeper and we'll have a chance just to... What does it mean to be generous to others? How can we do that? We need to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Citizens of God's kingdom. And we need to live lives which are so different. So that people ask, why are you so kind? Why are you different? And then you've got a chance to tell them. It's because God has been kind to me, because I'm a member of the kingdom of heaven and there are different rules. And this is the way God changes people. Be ready to say, when people ask, why are you different? Say, oh no, it's not just because I've had a bad hair day. No, sorry. No, it's because of God and his generosity. What is he like? So, live our lives. And the last thing I want to ask is, where do you stand regarding God's grace? Have you received? It talked about a gift. Have you received this gift? You see, for each of those people, I had a gift. I've got two left. So, if I've got a gift, and I say, do you want this gift? Do you want this gift? I've got a gift for you. Lisa, do you want this gift?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. So, if I say, well, go on then, there's the gift. And you've actually got to reach out and take the gift. Because if I say, there's a gift, and you say, then do you get the gift? I go away with it. To actually receive that gift, you've got to reach out and get it. And that's what I want you to do.
I've got 200.
You've got the 200 just by saying, yes, I'll have the gift. You can have more than that for believing in Jesus. If you are not part of the kingdom, if you haven't actually received that gift, if you haven't received the forgiveness, then do it today. It's easy to do. By faith, just trust in Jesus. Ask him to forgive you the things you've done. And you can come into God's kingdom today. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to come into God's kingdom and you haven't done this before, then pray the prayer after me. I don't care whether you pray it out loud or whether you pray it quietly. But I'll give you a chance right now to come into God's kingdom. And then we're going to finish. Let's pray. So if you want to pray this prayer, Lord, I know I've done many things wrong. I know I don't deserve your forgiveness. Thank you that when Jesus died, he was taking my punishment. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive. Holy Spirit, please come and fill my life with your presence. Help me to live differently as a member of God's kingdom. And Lord, I want to thank you that you've been such a generous God. Thank you that you give us life. Thank you that you give us so much that we don't deserve. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your forgiveness. Help us to live our lives rejoicing that you're not fair and sharing what we have with others. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, tell me afterwards. We're going to move into digging deeper. Dana.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Graham. There's so much there that we do need to dig into.
Next one, Pete.
For me, this is a really hard one. I suffer from something that I think a lot of us do. It's the prodigal son's brother syndrome. I don't get this God that is generous. It's not fair. I've been here for ages. Like, so give me my money.